This is Lancer Radio at lancerradio.org, and you're listening to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. With a warning for you, Peter Sines, the author, tends to be very addictive very quickly. If you loved Harry Potter or enjoyed Anne Rice, you're probably going to like his novel Coven of Wolves, in which he creates a very believable fantasy world. Peter's going to be reading from his work at the Author's Lounge during San Gabriel Valley Pride's 2013 Pride Festival this Saturday, September 28th. He'll get you acquainted with his characters, their challenges, and what comes next. Peter and I talked about what went into creating his first book, Coven of Wolves.
You know a lot about Latin, you know a lot about Wicca, and you know a lot about mythology. Were you winding up spending a lot of time in libraries prior to writing this?
I think I probably would have if the world of Wikipedia didn't exist. Wikipedia has been a very helpful tool that I've had, as well as like a few other sites. I'm not really that knowledgeable in the intricate details of Wicca, so that was able to give me a general oversight on some of the practices and the general tones and beliefs of that faith, as well as a few others. I also made up my own kind of thing. I kind of made embellishments along with some of those as well.
I'm wondering about the prototype for Malak. He's a great villain. Whom did you base him on?
I just really wanted to have an evil, beautiful villain, someone that you want to love to hate to be around. In the book, he's described as a former, older runaway model that has a very striking appearance and a very demanding presence. And I think that was very important to establish a villain that is not just a generic bad guy. So there's some parts of him that are very attractive. There's a whole coven is in love with him and wants to spend time with him. But at the same time, you can see just how sinister and sadistic he is and how controlling he is with the main character, Devin.
You can just sense him from the charm when he's getting what he wants and ice cold when he doesn't get what he wants is what I got from him.
Exactly.
I'll tell you one character that confused me a little bit, though, was Anna, because she's a nice lady right up to the very end of the book, and then you gave her an about face. Why?
Actually, my storyline, whenever I was almost done with it, I realized that it's a three-part story, because I had introduced so many characters, and I wanted to give them all the respective time. I had to put the storyline into three different areas. So what happens is, with Anna, she is a grandmother type who is very accommodating. She loves to help people, and that said, she's also very reserved and very quiet. She's very observant on what happens around her, but something happens, and you won't really find out until book two, that causes her to change that personality. So it's not really Anna that caused her to leave the situation. It's something else entirely. That
I promise to ask you nothing further about that because I don't want to ruin it. It's fun, too, that you have actually two epic battles that happen in Coven of Wolves, and you seem to make a strong statement in the first one about war versus rationality. How'd that come about?
I think because I come from such a strong comic book background, if you follow comic books, and especially comic books like the X-Men, where they just don't have battles just to have battles. There's usually a development that happens. There's always some kind of rationality that happens. And you don't see that in a lot of books. A lot of times the authors want to throw these characters into a situation where let's just have them fight and see who wins. And I kind of wanted to go the route, well, why are they fighting? And what's the outcome going to be? And what does everyone get out of everything? So I wanted everything to have a purpose.
Also, you send kind of a gentle message about families and acceptance when Adam shows up and meets Tobias. What can you tell me about this?
In that world, there's the world of the werewolves, where they're very clannish, they're very self-sufficient. They don't really have a lot to do with the outside world, other than the basic necessities of like food and shelter. But other than that, they have their own internal structures and their own rules, and because of that, they're very rigid. And the whole gay world, the gay lifestyle, they see as an outside thing. So it's not something that they're very familiar with and that they're very comfortable with. But at the same time, you have a character like Adam, who is just reunited with the son that he was forced away from and wants to be part of his life again. And then all of a sudden he realizes, well, I have him back, but he's also gay and has witches after him, and so I want to protect him, but there's also this part of him that I am not familiar with. And so it's one part of the book that I really want to delve into is that everything isn't black and white. You don't just hate people. You don't just love people. Sometimes whenever you introduce someone to someone else, it's more about just getting to know them and finding out, you know, is this person lovable, or is this person someone that I'm not really that connected with?
And you also seem to do that with Nicholas, who really isn't that likable when we first see him, but he undergoes a change.
Nicholas is actually a very kind of complex character. But whenever I came up with Nicholas, I wanted to have a character who was very no-nonsense, very by the book, no questions asked. But I wanted him to have an internal backstory. I wanted him to have an internal motivation for some of the things that he does. So whenever you see like a bad character, I don't think all bad characters are bad. Especially with him, you realize he's actually a very good person. He was just brought up in this world where he wasn't allowed to express on things that he likes and wasn't allowed to do the things that he wanted to. He was basically, you're a soldier, you're going to work for my family, and that's what your life is going to be about.
I'm going to assume that he develops and grows and learns differently. As you said, there's no black and white over the next two books, but I guess I'm just going to have to wait and read just like everybody else.
Well, with him, I think you do see a little bit of his tender side because you find out that besides being this cutthroat assassin for the werewolves, he helped raise his cousin's son, Damon, since birth. So he really sees Damon as a son himself. He's very protective of him. So you see that he does have the soft side to everything else about him that is very hard.